As soon as he was out of sight, she jumped up and set off decisively, without worrying about the exertions in her chest. She crossed the bridge over the lake and walked along Fríkirkjuvegur, passing all the birds on the lake, all so normal and familiar on this concentrated walk that she hardly needed a special look to recall the swans gliding long-necked, indifferent, among the ducks with a group of frightened and confused chicks suddenly sprinting after their mother so as not to lose sight of her, and in their ears the sound of the threats of spring, the beating of the sea of wings of the great black-backed gull, the shrieking flight of the Arctic tern, and chicks gaping for bread in this mortal danger. And in her own ears, the twittering, clamour, and shouting of a group of children as she turned up the path to the Miðbæjarskúl, with sandbags before the cellar windows, which Mom said would be removed because the war has ended, and felt a tugging burden which held her back, and she swung her arms behind her as if to raise her school bag on her back, her walk becoming heavier with every step, as if she had clogs on her feet. And when she came into the entrance of the schoolyard, she no longer held back, but let herself be carried over the border, into the yard with hard concrete underfoot, enclosed on all sides by concrete and corrugated iron, no way out, surrounded, hemmed into a corner during the break, retreating into the wall as if she thought she could disappear into it, away from the anticipatory viciousness in the eyes which approached. Stina in the middle of the group. It didn't surprise her. She knew that disaster had occurred. Knew it as soon as she'd blurted out to Stina that she would soon be moving to America. She had told Stina, because Stina was the only girl who also had a mother who was with an American soldier, and she wanted to be superior with her, be bad to Stina eternally, so that no one would ever think they had anything in common. So now in the eyes of the girls that she herself had given them an insight into her life, torn the bandage from the wound so the quick itself could be seen, and nothing had suffered to fool them or camouflage the truth. It had not been enough to prevent them from coming home with intrusive curiosity in their eyes. So that's what she looks like, a woman who goes with Yanks. Fair hair, which was never covered with a headscarf, but had curly locks which were piled high on her head and rippled like laughter down to her shoulders. It hadn't been enough to stand at a distance when other kids crowded around GIs to catch candy in the hope that her disapproval would hide from them the cans of fruit, chewing gum, and Hershey chocolate which filled the kitchen cupboard at home. It hadn't been enough to eat all this homemade liver spread. "I'm not taking GI chocolate into school," she said, and made her own sandwiches. And her mother's laughter made her shovel on thick liver spread so that it stood in mounds on her rye bread, and she unpacked it in the classroom in the long breaks so ostentatiously that everyone couldn't help but notice that she had rye bread and liver spread, which she gobbled every single day, swallowed and forced herself and swallowed again in the hope of forgiveness of her sins. And now, this liver spread was welling up out of her. Her heart itself pumped it while she awaited that which had to be. "Is it because your mom goes with the Yanks?" And this increasingly furious heartbeat became a whisper. "She doesn't go with Yanks." "Yes, she does." "No, she doesn't. Because the war's over." And knew as the laughter spread over her that the move to America was a punishment. Condemned to exile, she burst through the gang of kids in the yard, pushing everyone aside as she fled, and tried to avoid the teachers so that she needn't have to explain. Noticed at the back of one of them in a grey jacket as she passed the woman school teacher who stood by the gate. Maybe she couldn't get out. But the teacher moved aside for her. The open area outside the gate came as a rude shock to her. She looked around, amazed. A new city landscape appeared to her, and she didn't know where she was. It was as if she'd been transported to a future time straight out of the children's schoolyard. Hesitantly, she looked down at her feet and saw the grey walking shoes of a fully grown woman. Not a child's feet in clogs.